Well, fantastic. It's such a blessing, isn't it, to have these resources from bigger church families and from those that are All Souls in Langham Place. Great teaching and a great recap for us as grown-ups as we go to chapter two. I know there's all sorts of resources and activities that we're asking families to do. You're doing brilliantly at home, I know, with children's cover and children's teaching as mums and dads. And do keep sending in the things you're doing at home. It's great to see the resources. Here, we've got some here. Brilliant. Look at those boys. The fellas hard at work. Memory verses, word searches. And for Jonah series as well, we've it's a great story, isn't it? So if there were sort of excuses to think about creative stop motion films or making things out of Play-Doh or a sequence of four photos to summarize the chapters, send them all in. And whatever you do, we'll do our utmost to share them with the church family. It's lovely to see and a great encouragement to us all. But the grown-ups, we are going to turn now to Jonah chapter 2. I'm going to read it. The words will appear on screen if you haven't got a Bible to hand. And we're going to pick up from the end of chapter 1 and reading chapter 2. So it's Jonah chapter 1, verses 17 through to chapter 2 and verse 10. Jonah 1, verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Well, as we think about those things, let's start our time in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you, as we always do, that you speak to us by your word. And you've so much to say to us to help us see what we're really like and what you are really like. We pray now you'd help us see your love, your compassion, the lengths you'll go to save those who'd run from you, the lengths you'll go to seek and save the lost. And pray that you'd help us now this morning to fix our eyes and our minds on what you have to say. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week in Jonah chapter 1, we thought about the question of whether God's love knows any limits. And the tape measure, which I've misplaced, but that tape measure to think about, for whom does the measure of God's love fall short? And Jonah needed to learn that despite his best efforts to run from the Lord, God's love would stop at nothing to save all sinners, whether those in Nineveh, as we'll hear about next week, sailors on ship, or indeed Jonah himself. See, Jonah needed to learn that all who run to the Lord can be saved. And so chapter 2 simply tells us what happened to Jonah, but not through the drama of the narrative of the events. No, we have a prayer, a psalm of praise, where Jonah tells us what it took for him to receive God's rescue, because he realized he's dead without the Lord, and his heart cried out for him in longing. The first thing we see in this psalm of praise is that Jonah sees his need for the Lord and shouts help to the Lord. He sees his need, so he shouts help. We've heard from that recap from last week. He's literally man overboard, isn't he, at this point? He's dead in the water. And he receives this miraculous and completely unexpected rescue through the fish, doesn't he? Verse 17, the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights from where he made the prayer. Now, just as we begin, very often we'll be very distracted, me included, about how ridiculous this sounds. And we end up down the rabbit's hole on YouTube and Google, trying to find other stories, perhaps, around the world of men and women who've been swallowed by fish at sea and somehow survived in the belly of a whale. And we sort of show people and think, see, it is possible. It can happen. As someone half dead slumbers out of is cut out of a fish. But you see, that's not the point here at all. The point is it's basically not possible. It is impossible. This isn't natural. It's supernatural. If someone falls overboard on a ferry, we don't think, oh, don't worry, a passing whale will gladly swallow them and spit them out on the beach. No, this isn't natural. It's supernatural. And it's striking that Jonah never mentions it again. He never tells us in his song of praise about how amazing this is or indeed how silly it is. He's not struck by the concern for thinking, how's anybody going to believe me down the pub when I tell them what happened? No, he is simply delighted that he's been saved at all. Remember, he's done all he can to run as far as he can from the word of the Lord. He wants all that distance. He ends up thrown overboard into the sea of God's judgment. And now we have this prayer that is peppered with I's and me's and you's. This prophet who wants as much distance from the Lord as possible now just speaks warmly of this relationship that he's now found. See, the point is, Jonah's prayer, it wasn't a witch he called help to anyone who could save him. No, but the only one who could save him. So notice in verse 1, in my distress, I called to the Lord. Verse 2, in the realm of the dead, I called, then again, I cried. He knows he's a goner, doesn't he? He says, verse 5, seaweed wrapped around my head. Verse 6, the earth beneath barred me in forever. He's speaking here of a watery grave and an eternal hell. He's at death's door and could see that he's not going to surface again. And the door would be closed shut permanently. And it's not just that Jonah sees that his circumstances are such a disaster, but spiritually he's dead in the water. Again, he wanted distance from the word of the Lord, didn't he? But now he sees that was a deadly mistake. Notice verse 4. He says, I've been banished from your sight. That's what scares him. It's not just that he's going to die in the depths of the sea, but that he's so far from the Lord that not even he might see him. And so Jonah sees his need physically and spiritually and shouts help. He shouts help. I was reading just this week about a lady who was given a terminal diagnosis and told she would have just 3 weeks to live. And she called her pastor friend to her bedside in hospital, in the hospice. And given that time wasn't on her side, they both agreed that they would cut the small talk, and that with the limited time he had in the low energy levels she had, that he would simply speak to her about what matters most. And so he shared to her that her diagnosis wasn't the worst of her problems, but God's diagnosis of sin, of separation from him, was a far more significant deal. But that wonderfully, the same God who offers the prognosis provides the rescue. And that is what the cross of Christ was all about, the Lord dying and rising, and that she could know this too. And as she sat and listened and the pastor went to leave, she said, I'm going to say sorry. I'm going to call for help to the Lord you've just told me about. And the pastor, as he left the hospice that day, knowing he wouldn't see her again, said, and I promise that when I stand up at your funeral, I'll tell everybody that it is in him you have finally and at last put your trust. You see, Jonah, he needed to see, didn't he, if you remember from chapter 1, that sort of falling on his Hebrew heritage wouldn't save him. That's not it was to be a Christian, as it were. He needed to see that he was all but dead, save for God's intervention. He needed to learn, as the Bible elsewhere tells us, the wages of sin is death. He was a goner. But the free gift of God is salvation in Christ. And at this point in Jonah 2, don't forget, Jonah needs to find out and consider, could it even be that the Ninevites could call on this same Lord with the word help? Could it even be he could save them? Friends, it's right we ask ourselves at this point in Jonah, who are we praying that the Lord would bring to that point of need to see who they really need and shout help? Who are we pleading with the Lord that he would open their eyes, soften their hearts, and see their real need and shout help? Who are we exhausted by in prayer? Weekly, monthly, as years become decades, will we pray? Perhaps it could be that this morning the Lord is showing you that your need is him. Well, what will you do about it? Will you shout help, just like that lady did in her last few weeks? Or maybe this morning you're someone who concedes you've just got a bit complacent in your Christianity. You're perhaps more ready to say, like Jonah, who says, well, I'm a Hebrew. We say, well, I'm Church of England, or I go to Christ Church. I go to church each week. Do we need to respond once again as we reflect on the miracle of our rescue? Well, Jonah, he realizes his need and responds with help. But secondly, in the second part of his song, we see that he sees his rescue and says thanks. He sees his rescue and simply says thanks. I wonder if you noticed as I was reading, as we went through the verses, how just a couple of very small words changed the whole direction of what Jonah's been saying. There we are, Jonah, as good as dead, dead in the water. And then verse 6, but you. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. His whole direction of travel has changed from going down, 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 down from down to Tarshish, down into the sea, down to his death. And now the Lord, but you lift me up from the pit. See, Jonah realizes in the belly of the fish, he's not dinner, but being delivered from death. Verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. It's striking, isn't it? Telling us there what he did. Jonah, he didn't reason with the Lord from inside the fish. He didn't plead, here's why you must save me. It was one mistake. I am a Hebrew. I won't do it again. No, Jonah doesn't reason with the Lord. He remembers the Lord. He doesn't want the reason so that the Lord would see what Jonah's really like. Far from it. He wants, he remembers what the Lord is really like. The Lord who's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Yes, the Lord who is all sovereign and all powerful and sent the storm that cast into the sea in the first place. But he remembers the Lord, every aspect of his character and just what he might be teaching him. And he prays to the Lord, whose love is ready to stoop low enough to rescue. And the striking thing is to rescue even Jonah, who up to this point was gladly running as far as he could from the Lord. Jonah sums it up, doesn't he? Saying that in verse 8, to trust anyone else, let alone anything else, is like, as he says, verse 8, clinging to a worthless idol, turning away from God's love. The original word there of God's love, the Hebrew speaks of his undeserved mercy, his grace, as we often say. And so Jonah's cries for help, as he remembers the Lord's grace, turn to shouts of praise, summing everything up in 5 words, verse 9, salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation, rescue comes from the Lord. No one else can do it. And it's as if it's at that moment of realization that he's spat out and released, set free to live his reborn life. Now, it's worth noting, of course, as we turn the page of our Bible, Jonah's story doesn't end there. We could say the rebel is rescued. Why do we need any more? Well, there are hints even in this prayer of praise that Jonah still has significantly more to learn. But for now, at least, he recognizes his rescue and responds not with, "I owe you, Lord," but simply, "Thank you, Lord." It reminded me of the film Saving Private Ryan. I think it's rather old now, but perhaps some of you have seen it. One of those Spielberg epics, and all about the incredible, noble and valiant efforts of a group of US soldiers sent to Europe to rescue Private Ryan. All of his other brothers have died in war as an act of compassion. The colonels have requested he be rescued and brought home to America. The film is long and grueling, but he is saved. And right at the end, if you can remember the scene, there's a moment where Private Ryan is looking out on the carnage and the lives lost and the lengths these comrades have gone to rescue him. And he can't believe it. And then the character Tom Hanks plays, who led the rescue, whispers in his ear two words: "Earn this. Earn this." And then the film ends, cutting to Private Ryan, now an elderly gentleman, collapsing at the white grave in Ypres of his rescuers. And he's in a state and pleading with his family, his children and grandchildren, for reassurance. "Have I earned this? Tell me I've been a good man." And it's emotional and it's grueling and it's gripping, and we rightly recognize it. And yet, "earn this" is what changed the direction of his life. But Jonah, it's not "earn this," but you. But you. The Lord had set Jonah free from his rescue, not from a lifetime of IOUs, but simply a life of thanks. Set free from his sin, brought to his senses to call on the Lord. So let me ask, friends, ask you, as I've asked me this week, does your life express simply thanks to God for his rescue? Think ahead this week. If you do your diary before bed tonight, thinking about what lies ahead, in what ways can we resolve to commit with our hands and our hearts, our diaries and our wallets, those words would people look in and see, even through our screens, that we believe with thanks salvation comes from the Lord? And what about those worthless idols that Jonah recognizes we need to turn from, to turn to the Lord? Well, we'll see in chapter 3 that Jonah actually, as he says those words, he is in danger of pointing the finger at the fools who still cling to them, as if he's the one who's cleverly come to his senses. But nevertheless, there is still a warning to us all about the things that we still cling to having turned to the Lord. For instance, if we throw money at every problem before we pray, or we spend more money insuring everything we own for this life rather than on gospel ministry, which brings people to the next life, then it's plain as day that money is our idol, or perhaps the comfort money brings. Would we willingly choose to live less than our means permit for the sake of the gospel and in a life responding simply with thanks? Maybe we need to ask, which idols do we need to fully let go of, release those final finger grips this morning? And before we respond like Jonah in song with thanks, let's, of course, not miss how all of this points us to God's gracious rescue of us in Christ. It's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, that Jesus says with the words, "What happened to Jonah here is a sign of what will happen to him, that he too will enter the storm of God's judgment, and he will die and rise. He'll be in the belly of death, if you like, and brought to new life, just not for himself, but for others." And so, friends, just like the fish we're to see that the cross of Christ was a rescue that only God could provide. Just like the fish, the cross of Christ is a rescue that is totally undeserved and unasked for. Just like the fish, the cross of Christ is a rescue to which we contribute absolutely nothing. Just like the fish, the cross of Christ is a rescue where God's judgment and mercy meet at the same time. Just like the fish, Christ's cross is a rescue that seems utterly ridiculous, utterly unbelievable, and utterly irrelevant. Until you're brought to your senses, see how much we are dead without the Lord, and receive the Lord's rescue with thanks. And so Christ's cross is a rescue from a rescuer that shows whether from pagan sailor to running away Hebrew, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Let's respond together with thanks in song now.